Donald Trump ran for president touting his outsider status and his record, not as a politician, but as the chief executive of a real estate empire. He promised to bring business expertise to government. His young administration has now faced several crises, including rising tensions with North Korea, two devastating hurricanes, the rise of white supremacy, and the worst mass murder in U.S. history, and the failure to carry out his campaign promise to repeal and replace Obamacare. But how well does executive experience in business translate into success as president? How would a management expert rate Trump thus far as the federal government's CEO? That's a question GLT's Judy Valente poses to Richard Ringer, director of the Organizational Leadership Institute at Illinois State University.
I think it's fair to say that, you know, he looks like a real estate developer who is trying to learn how to become president. And I don't know how far along that learning curve he really is in many ways.
Let's talk about some of those qualities that he does bring to the job, some of that executive quality.
Well, you know, I think that's a problem for him, actually, Judy. And I think that what was required for him in his professional role are really different set. There are different sets of requirements for him in a presidential role in terms of what worked really well in his corporate role doesn't work very well.
What are some of those things?
Well, for example, if I'm a real estate developer and I'm trying to build a resort or develop a block of an urban area or build a hotel, a convention center, an office building, I've got to negotiate with people regarding, you know, getting the land, getting the loans, dealing with construction companies. And if I have a bank, I'm dealing with a bank that doesn't want to lend me the money. Well, I go to a different bank, and I can play that game a little bit. And, well, if you don't want to give me the good terms I want, then I'll go see if this bank will. Well, there's only one U.S. Senate. There's only one U.S. House of Representatives. Where else does the president go if he can't find common ground with those other branches of the U.S. government? So the negotiation skills that perhaps served him really well in that professional life perhaps don't serve him as well in his public life, in his public role, because the needs and interests of those different bodies are completely different.
Well, I'm hearing a couple of things from you. One is that you can't snap your fingers in the federal government as you can in business and say, I want this to happen.
I think you're absolutely right, Judy. I at least in my perspective, that's one of the issues, is that he can't go anyplace else and negotiate a better deal. He has to learn to work with the government as it is. Things just don't happen because he wishes that they would. And part of the challenge, I think, that he has in terms of his management style is that I think there are some lessons that can be learned as we look at perhaps some of the mistakes that he's made and how they might apply in organizational leadership. And one of those critical issues is the notion of what we like to call consistency, predictability, and reliability, which is that if you're in a management role in an organization, that those who work with you and those who report to you have some reasonable expectation that your behavior will be consistent and predictable and reliable over time. That what you say is important today was what you said was important yesterday, and what you say will be important tomorrow. Now, certainly strategies and policies will change over the long term, but not without some in-depth communication explanation why. With President Trump, and in fairness, and this is not a commentary on his policies or his politics, but rather his communication style, there often is a lack of consistency of what really is important to his administration. Is it tax reform? Is it health care? Is it immigration reform? Is it North Korea? And all of those things are valid, but at least from my perspective, there appears to be a lack of real consistency. Of these are the real priorities that we have as administration. These are the things that we really want to try to accomplish. And until leaders and managers are able to do that, it becomes very difficult for other members of the organization to have some confidence that we can predict tomorrow where you're headed. We can predict next week where you're headed. Fortune magazine just a few months ago released a survey of chief financial officers asking them to describe the administration in one word. And it was not a very kind commentary. And those words were chaotic, erratic, unpredictable. And that's a really difficult role for a leader, for a manager to be in when those who work with you, those who report to you, those who engage with you on a regular basis can't predict what tomorrow will bring, what next month will bring, not only in terms of your individual behavior, but in terms of your priorities, your policies, the things that are important to you, what the focus will be. And I think that's been a struggle for this administration.
The U.S. has never elected a businessman president before. I mean, it's elected people who have been in business right. and then went into public right. service. That would have been George W. Bush.
Right.
Does it say something about the difficulty in transitioning some of the skills that serve you well at times in business to government? Or are some of the issues that you just outlined, some of the weaknesses of the management style of Trump as president, just due to President Trump?
I think this is a style that he has developed over years and years and years, and it's very difficult for people to change. We've certainly seen signs of his ability to be more measured and more dignified in the role, his inauguration speech, the post-election speech. Then he's had other occasions where he's been that way. I do think you raise a critical issue. You know, a major reason that Mr. Trump won the election is that he was truly running as an outsider, and he appealed to those across the electorate that felt disenfranchised, disconnected. And his outsider, I'm going to drain the swamp approach was very attractive, and I think remains attractive for major parts of the population. But I also think it's very, very clear that experience is a really valuable attribute to have. And even if we look at the second President Bush, he grew up with a president. He had been governor of a large state. You know, he came in with at least some background and some experience in an executive role in government. The U.S. government, it is enormously complex. It's huge. It's diverse. It's tough to manage. And I don't know that anything can prepare you well for that. And for someone that lacked really any significant public service experience, I do think some of those weaknesses have shown.
Do you think that a businessman could be, or a businesswoman, let me say, could be successful as president of the United States? And what would that take?
I certainly think so. You know, in fairness, I'm observing the president from a long way away through many layers of information and reporting. I think learning to be a good leader, learning to be a good manager is possible for almost all of us. I think one of the attributes when we look at very successful leaders is that they are very self-reflective individuals. They're mindful of their strengths and weaknesses. They're aware of failures and successes. They learn from those experiences. They're sensitive to the feedback, both the formal and informal feedback that they're getting. But that takes a learning approach and an openness to feedback that I think, rightly or wrongly, I think we can fairly question whether the current president is open and sensitive to that type of feedback about his performance. And I think that certainly is, as an observer, would be a concern for me. Is he really willing to reflect on performance, on behavior, on his approach, and look for different ways to do it?
If President Trump showed up in one of your management classes or your Organizational Leadership Institute and you had an opportunity to tutor him, what would be the one or two main things that you would instruct him on?
The first one would be don't pick battles with people whose help you need. Judy, we have so much evidence that successful leaders and organizations are able to build really effective cooperative relationships across organizations, including with people that they don't actually manage, people that they can't command and control, so to speak. And those relationships are built on trust and credibility. They're mutually beneficial. And whether you like people or not, whether you would be friends with them or not, there's an issue of building really effective relationships with those individuals. And one of the rules is don't pick fights with people. And through his tweets frequently and through his public statements, he appears to react very emotionally to disappointment, to the sense that others have let him down, and he makes those public.
Richard Ringer is the director of the Organizational Leadership Institute at Illinois State University. He spoke with GLT's Judy Valente. Ringer says another problem President Trump faces is that Americans over the past 200 years have developed specific expectations of their leaders. Ringer says they want their presidents in particular to be measured, dignified, thoughtful, and gracious. You're listening to Sound Ideas.